My name is Linda Sims, and this is WGH Talk. How are you doing this lovely morning? Kind of brisk this morning, but we're supposed to have a high of, I think, 67 today.
Ooh.
Now, let me share with you how you can listen to this show and share with other people how to listen to this show, okay? We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Or you can download a free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Or you can call in during this live broadcast by calling 740-383-9944. My thought for today is titled Decisions. My decisions or lack of decisions determine the reality of my life. If we do not responsibly for, if we do not have responsibility for now or how we live, life will feel unfair and oppressive. Making a decision not to live like this anymore is the, I don't know, I'm trying to read my writing.
Uh-oh.
Is to realize that at last we can choose our life's direction. And this brings a feeling of empowerment. Okay, let me share with you those who faithfully support Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC. I'm trying to stay focused. 1325 North Main Street in Marion, Ohio. Phone there, 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-223-1515. Or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement, free produce every third Saturday of every month. This will take place November 19th at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please share this information with others. Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. The owner is Cheryl Lee. Location is LaRue, Ohio. Phone there is 740-262-0939. Like I said a minute ago, if you want to call in, be a part of this show, have any comments, or would like to ask any questions, please call 740-383-9944.
And keep in mind that if you call up and you say something stupid, we're hanging up.
My guest today is Willie Harris. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And he is tap one. He is in rare form today.
That's what they say.
That's
what they say.
He is an author, okay, and he's also a stand-up comedian. So hopefully you will enjoy our show. And don't forget to go vote. Early voting is still taking place.
Yeah, early voting. Go
ahead. And our election day is November the 8th. So order yourselves accordingly. So I'm going to get back with my guest today, Willie Harris. How you doing?
I am one step above excellent. And like she read, you know, before about making decisions, decide to go vote because it is important.
Yes, it is. One of the best decisions you can make today is go vote.
That's right.
Or make plans to go vote tomorrow. But just go vote. Let your voices be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Now, let us try to get back to where we was, or do we want to go back there? Last hour.
I don't recall where we was, but wherever we was, it probably was good. Go ahead.
Right. You are an author, and you brought your book with you.
Yeah, today. I am.
Yes, and we started out talking about
It's important to tell people, when people say you're an author,
right.
I got an ISBN number.
Okay?
And what that means is that it's published. So, not only just an author, but I'm an actual published author. So that's why I say you can go up on Amazon and order it and that sort of thing. And it's important because a lot of times people don't understand the different stages that you have when you're doing a book or you're writing a book. Because a lot of people talk to me and they be wanting to write books, and I try to tell them different things that I've done. And just one of the things is knowing how to, you know, do your publishing and all that stuff.
Right.
And getting that out there.
Right. The book is hilarious. You have to buy it. You have to pick it up.
And what's the name of the book, Linda?
This is Your Life.
She
ain't
read
it,
y'all.
Well, I'm almost finished with it.
She almost finished. And you know, there ain't but 35 pages in this book. This book is very simple. Yeah. Well, actually, it's 89 pages, and it's kind of like an autobiography, but kind of just a funny story about a young man. As a matter of fact, that's what it says on the back. It says, a young man's journey to manhood through the various trials and tribulations of life. The woman he loved, see, don't y'all pay any attention to that. The woman he loved, he made that up, because my editor put that in, because we were married at the time. And he made the dreams he dreamed come true. This is your life, could be anyone's story. From birth to death, life is a mystery. Now, that does go on, but the truth of the matter is, that's pretty much tell you what this book is about. It's just about one man, young man's whole thing that he did from when he was a very young man until his, you know, later on in life. So it's just got a lot of funny details, because a lot of stuff you guys are not going to believe that I was subjected to. Let me tell y'all something. I got a bunch of stories, but I ain't going to tell them today. But you know what? When I went in the military in 1971, I was 17. I didn't even know they got paid in the military.
You didn't?
I had no idea. I was just trying to escape. And it wasn't until I was out marrying Ohio, and it wasn't until, and I done told this story, my family know all about it, they ain't embarrassed me either. I was in boot camp, we was getting ready, boot camp was about over, so the last couple of days, they have this thing where they have everybody line up, and they pay you for that, being in the boot camp, and then you go on to your next station.
Okay.
And so I come out, and I notice all these guys are lined up, and I asked one guy, I said, man, what they lined up for? He said, so that they can get paid. I'm like, paid for what? He said, for being in the Navy. Hey, get out of here, man. They ain't gonna pay you for being in the Navy. I had never been in an air-conditioned building. Mm. I went to Florida. That was the first time I ever was in a building that was complete, that I could recognize, and that was completely air-conditioned. So I wasn't used to any of this stuff, you know.
Right, right.
And you know, we had our own beds, and that was 120 of us in the same room because it's boot camp. But the thing is, that was the first time I had really good food, the first time that I had a direction. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I figured that's all they had to offer.
Right, right.
And I'm saying, they're going to pay you too? I didn't know you got paid.
Wow.
So this book is full of those type of things. It's just somebody that's just basically just didn't know.
Right, right.
And like I thank God for it.
Amen. You said, life is a mystery.
It is a mystery. And every day parts of it unfold.
Why don't you think we get that when we're growing up? Or maybe we're young adults and we still don't understand that life is a mystery.
Now, that's a good question, because some people don't know what mysteries are. See, mysteries are things that you don't know, and it could be things that you discover that you're not sure of yet, that you haven't really figured out what they are.
Right.
Some things, like, for instance, here we are, we look up in the stars. We don't really know the whole star thing, but we've studied it as men to be able enough to kind of figure out, you know, where we are, what we do, and that sort of thing. So it's a mystery to us. But once we get that information that we have, it can unfold some of that mystery.
Mm-hmm.
See, so then you can understand that the moon is so many miles away from the earth, and light travels so fast, and the sunlight. Because I didn't know, when you're looking at a sunset, that happened 8 minutes ago.
Mm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at a sunset going down, it went down 8 minutes ago.
Mm.
And just to wrap your head around that is kind of interesting, because when you see the sun come up, right, it done already came up 8 minutes ago.
Mm.
It just takes that long for the light to hit the earth.
Mm.
So
you're right. We don't know that.
Think about it. The thing that's providing you one of your most important substance, as the sun does,
mm-hmm.
if it takes 8 minutes to get to you, what does that say about life? It's a mystery. It's a journey. It takes time.
Yes, it does.
And don't believe what you be hearing and thinking from other people about this voting thing. Yeah, I'm back on that. Because they lying about certain stuff, man.
That's true.
8 minutes, they got that thing. But anyways, that's another whole story. Mysteries. I don't know why they don't get it, but I can tell you this. As a young man, I'm glad that I didn't get it. Because I'm able to now, at this age, enjoy mysteries.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of things I discover. Some people knew, you know, because I look at, you know, my son. When I was his age, I didn't know what he knew. But then I was doing things he's not doing, like being married and a family and all that sort of thing. But I'm just saying, man, the mystery is pretty much out of their life because they got the internet and all these other nets. They got social media. They can find out everything they want to know.
Right.
You want to know how far the moon, how fast light travel? You know, back in the day, like I was saying before, you'd have to go to the library. And then you would have to know what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, to look the book up and all those sorts of things. Then you had to be able to read.
Right, right.
So it's a lot of things that have changed for us, you know, but I love it. I love the fact that I grew up in the era that I did and that everything wasn't given to us.
No, it wasn't.
Because
not.
It allows me to still discover things, especially yes. in humanity. Because there's some great people in the world.
Yes, there
it really
are some
is,
great
man.
People.
You know, there's only a few people that's got things all messed up and stupid, you know, but there are always. Listen, the Lord said in the Bible that there's more of us than there is them. When that guy turned, he didn't know that the angels had showed up. I forget which one of the prophets had did this. And when he turned around and he saw that there was a bunch of cherubs and angels and everything that's on. Okay. And he said, it's more of us than it is of them. And I tell that same message today. It's more of us. It's more good people than it is people of evil.
That's a good thought to have.
Well, it's true.
A good fact to know.
Yeah, absolutely. Love.
Even though evil exists.
Marvin Gaye said, only love can conquer hate.
True. So true.
So when you have love, it's the light. And you know what's interesting? You can take a small candle, and I did this one time. Took a small candle, and I went in a room full of men. And what I did was I put candles on all of their tables. And I explained something to them. I said, you know, all it takes is one spark for everybody to get the light. So I lit my candle, and I lit a guy's candle. I said, now you go light another guy's candle. He went and started lighting another guy's candle, and then another guy said, well, I ain't waiting. I'm going to go get my light now, and came up to the stage and got his light. And before you know it, the whole room was illuminated. Now, I learned that from an Amway thing I was right. in one time. So the darkest can't put out the light. So I don't care how small the light is. If you put it in a dark room, it will illuminate it.
Yes, sir.
And it's the same thing with truth. It's the same thing with love and hate. When you got love, hate has to disappear. When you got truth, a lie has to disappear because it succumbed to that.
Right. So how do you explain the fact that false prophets are able to profit off of young people and turning their ways and minds away from the Lord, which is the way, truth, and the life, and He is the light of the world? So now, God is a mystery. You agree with that?
Yeah.
He's a mystery.
Yeah, you know, great. That word, yeah, it's just simpler to say that. Mm-hmm.
He's a mystery.
I ain't gonna try to elaborate on it. Yeah, you're right.
So, when young people hear, well, I can imagine how you were raised. I did know your mother. I know your...
You knew my daddy, too.
Yeah, and your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Hattie's your sister, right?
Hattie is.
Yeah, I knew her. We should worship with her.
And Mary.
Oh, yes. And Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you hear some of that YouTube talk about Mary wasn't a virgin, and or have you heard that?
Not really.
You haven't heard
that? Okay. Because my philosophy about that is a little different, but I do believe all of that stuff did happen like that too.
Right.
I don't expect, listen, the younger kids today, even though they have all of this technology at their forefront and at their hand, what's missing in this country today is a lot of the basic stuff. You know, when I was growing up, now this, and everybody's basic can be different,
right?
But you have to have a foundation. I don't care what you're building. Got to have a foundation. So in our particular community, and with me, it was you know, God and religion. So we didn't have everything right there, like I said earlier, so we had to rely on what our parents was telling us. Well, today your kids don't do that. When you're talking to your child, they're Googling, and they're going to get somebody else's opinion on what you're telling them.
Right.
So my mother told me a long time ago, she said, when your child is listening to someone else, you can't control them.
No.
And that's the same thing with us now. You know, these younger kids done listen to so much stuff, and it's hard to bring them back to understanding the basics of who and what God
right,
really is.
Right.
First of all, God is a mystery,
yes,
and it's not meant for you to understand Him. Just worship,
and
obey,
believe.
and follow.
Yes.
Okay.
You have to believe.
Well, let me tell you something about belief.
Okay. Let's hear it.
An old guy told me one time, he said, son, you believe that belief is important? I said, yeah. I said, because, you know, you got to believe in God and this sort of thing. He said, well, let me show you something. He took his keys out and he showed me his car. He said, see that right there? He said, that's my car. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. He said, listen, do you believe these keys will start that car? I said, well, is it the keys that go to that car? You know, because I'm smart. He said, yes, it is. I said, yeah, I believe it. He said, so you telling me that if I gave you these keys, that you could go in there and start that car? I said, yeah, if those keys are for that car. And he said, these keys are for that car. Mm-hmm. He said, so you telling me you believe you can start it?
Right.
He said, so why it hasn't started yet? See, let me tell y'all something about God. You can believe in God, but if you don't get into God and get into the seat and put your life in his ignition and turn him on, mm-hmm, and put him in drive, you just sitting over there talking yak.
Right.
Because you have to not just believe in God.
Right.
You got to get into God.
That's true. So true. So true. Mm-hmm.
Now call me up and tell me I'm wrong. No, you don't. I'm only kidding.
No, you're not. I mean, that's really a true fact.
It is.
It's a true fact.
And see, and that's another thing people don't understand. Facts ain't always true.
That's true.
See, people talking about, well, I got the facts. That don't mean what you're saying is true.
Right.
Now, is it a true fact? Different game.
Right. Absolutely different game.
Tell you a story.
There's all kind of facts out there, right?
Tell you a story.
All right.
Little boy sitting out front of this building looking at a window. And the windows in the buildings all broke out. All right? So, as he's sitting there trying to figure this out, some adults come up. They look at the kid and they look at the window and they look at where he's standing, mm-hmm, and they go in the building and there's rocks in the building that done been thrown to the window. So the facts is the little boy is standing where the rocks is that did the actual damage.
Mm-hmm.
So the facts say he must have done it.
Right.
But those are not the true facts. See, the true facts is that before the kid got there, he saw these other kids playing and throwing at the windows. He wanted to see what they was doing. And when he figured out what they was doing, he stopped there and marveled at it for a second because he wouldn't do something like that.
Right.
But the other people came up and looked at him and saw all this stuff and put it all together and came to this conclusion based off of the fact. You must have been the one that did it.
Right. That's how a lot of people go to jail that are innocent.
Yeah.
Well, they claim that. You know,
yeah. Well, that's true. I believe that to be true because anytime you pass in judgment on somebody, you stand to be wrong. Because
yeah,
facts are just facts.
Right. Data.
Data, information, knowledge, you know, stuff that don't mean anything unless you really understand it and work it, you
sure
know. But a lot of people don't really know how to separate all this stuff. And like I was saying about with kids, all this kind of been taken away from them, you know, because they don't teach the same thing in school anymore. They don't teach basic, you know, math like we did. I remember when I went to my child's class, they said, we're going to teach y'all the new math we teaching these kids. And we was like, there ain't no sense in us going to school no more with it. We can't do it.
I know.
You know, they just switched all the terms around and, you know, ain't that multiplication? No. They call this something else. I'm like, what?
Yeah, you're right.
You know what that does? If you learn multiplication and I learn multiplication and everybody before us was learning multiplication, then you come up and you learn this alternative additional.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I did not.
Because it's a different term. Doing the same thing, different name.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
And different process of getting the answers, you
boy,
know.
Yeah. Math is real tricky.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
If you don't understand math, you ain't, you know, it's tricky. But yeah, I love math, man.
I used to.
Math is kind of a secret kind of love of mine or something. You know, it's like a mistress type thing. I've always loved math, but I've never had the abilities to manipulate it because I never learned the basics like
right,
I should have.
Right.
You know, I was busy in school playing and doing all kinds of other stuff. But, you know, the thing is, just like getting around to writing this book, when I first started writing, I couldn't read that well because when I left here as a kid, my reading skills was like on a third, fourth grade level. I had just enough abilities to read the entry mm-hmm test to get into the Navy. And I'm not even sure about that, honey, because nobody never came back to me and told me yay or nay.
Right. Will you pass or not?
I don't even have a clue to this day whether I pass or not. I really don't. Looking back on how much I did not know at that time compared to what I don't know now,
right.
I knew a lot less then and a lot more less than I do now.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I didn't know nothing then, and I sure don't know nothing now, but I didn't understand that stuff, and nobody never came and explained it. So, you know, I don't know if I passed the test or not.
But I did. Got in there.
But I did get in. And I was able once to see it. And God works like that too, because once I got in there, I started educating myself.
Mm-hmm.
Once I found out that there was a lot of guys around me that was educated, so it was easy for me to, hey man, how you get that? Because see, I didn't have that before. Where you could go to somebody that was older and say, how did you get that to work like that? And they'd be like, hey young man, let me show you something. You know, and that's how you start learning stuff.
Right.
Because reading was not fun to my mental. Okay, so I didn't read. But read is fundamental.
Oh,
and so as a kid, I didn't read. So
there's a lot of pleasure in reading, though.
Once you learn to read.
Yeah.
I could say words, but I couldn't tell what they was about.
Right.
You know.
Just like your book, you know, it's good, it's interesting, it's funny. You know, once you get into it, I mean, like you said, it can be a very quick read. Like a couple hours, you can be done with it.
Well, you know, I always kind of like, first of all, developing a style, which is what I was telling you, learn your style. And that's why I do all the shops and stops, and I'd be like, hold up, I'll be right back. Or
yeah.
Did y'all hear that? I don't believe that. You know, because I know sometimes I'd be like, okay, I don't want to hear nobody in the audience saying nothing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let me get through this first, that kind of stuff. But
mm-hmm.
I think that's what makes for a great read, when you can kind of throw things around and up and kind of get away from some stuff that's traditional and kind
of
be
fun.
Because
in the middle of a page, you go reminiscing on something else.
Yeah,
that, you know,
you go way off
in your mind.
And then I say, oh, excuse me.
Right, I'm back.
I segue for a minute. But you know, learning how to use words like segue, another thing that God has given me a gift, most words that I've learned to use, like I was looking at how it was talking about his meticulous balance in his life that is truly appreciated. Words like meticulous, I didn't know those kind of words. You know, I had to learn all that kind of stuff. So I fell in love with words,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I said, man, it'd be cool to be able to say one thing and mean a bunch of stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so that's why I started getting into words. And that kind of led me, because I had to read the dictionary,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I couldn't read, you know. So that kind of got me into how important words were. And I still didn't understand the English stuff. I just learned, what was that that my man just told me just this week? And it's just Wednesday. He told me something about grammar.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it was. He said, now, you know, that's not how that really go. I didn't know, because I didn't understand grammar.
Right.
But thank God Grammarly is out. Girl, you know what Grammarly is, right?
Grammarly, yeah, grammar. I know.
No, Grammarly.
Grammarly. No, what's that?
Grammarly, as you typing, is correcting all of your mistakes and all of your punctuations and all of your miscounts and your expressions, like if you use then instead of then, T-H-E instead of T-H-A.
So how do you set that up on the computer?
You just get the application that says Grammarly and then load it. And once you load it, it takes over your computer.
Oh, no.
And from that point on, every time you make something, it says Grammarly want to know, do you mean this or are you trying to say this, fool?
Really?
No, I'm kidding. It don't say the fool part.
I understand that.
I know. But no, yeah, you can go into different depths with it as far as how much you wanted to critique. Now, I turned it off because it got to the point I couldn't just write like text and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It want to correct everything.
Wow.
Grammarly.
Oh, I had never heard of that.
Oh, yeah, man. That's a great tool to have. And if you got kids just in school, man, if they ain't got Grammarly.
And I wonder why, you know, when I was trying to write my book that it wouldn't correct a lot of stuff. And I hit a button one time and lost 3 or 4 pages. Like, how'd that happen?
You didn't save like you were supposed to. You didn't have it on automatic save. You save
not.
Every 2 minutes or 3 minutes. That's first
that's
of all.
What people say.
But see, you got to learn all that, honey. You need people to teach you all that. And you can learn it on YouTube. Now, YouTube. You can push save, but how often do you do that? You know, you all into your thought.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you all the way away, you know, went 3 or 4 more
pages.
Paragraphs.
Yeah.
You ain't hit save yet.
So you're saying once you hit save, you still have to continuously hit save.
Yeah. Every time you write something new, save that. Because if you don't, it's not going to happen the next time you pull up save.
Oh, my. I did not know that.
This is why God put us together, Miss Lynn.
I did not know that.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. If you don't have it on automatic save, the word to save every 10 minutes or 5 minutes, go into your computer. Better yet, go to YouTube and say how to turn on automatic save, like for when you're doing writing, like Microsoft Word or
whatever. I'll do that.
And it'll tell you how to turn it on. And what you do is turn it on. And a little, which they don't have anymore. I'm surprised they didn't change. Now, that's a clever idea. And when they do, I'm going to be pissed because I ain't part of it. Right now, they still use the floppy disk drive icon, but they're going to change it to a thumb drive, I believe, eventually. You know, because the times has changed. Kids don't know what, you think your kids know what a floppy 3-inch floppy drive is? Those little, remember those little drives we used to put in there? The little hard drive?
Yeah.
And you remember the big ones? The big paper-like ones? See, you wasn't into it back then.
No,
that was back in the 70s. You're too young for that.
I don't remember.
No, you're too young for that. There used to be, the same thing that we now use as a jump drive, used to be about this big. And it went into the computer, and it didn't hold nothing. No, it didn't hold enough information.
And just to think, I worked in the office, and I was a secretary, and I did typing and all that.
And you know what? I always wondered: does secretaries have to know grammar and all that stuff?
Yeah.
So when you get hired, do you already know it? I mean, do you go to school just for that, for secretary type work?
Yeah, general office I went for. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I had to have shorthand back in those days.
Okay, like the withered hand type thing.
Yeah.
Like Jerry Clampett said, you know, something must be wrong with that young filly. See, because she's always talking about she going to use shorthand to write. And I said, yeah, I got you, Jed. But it can mess up some stuff. But anyways, you did shorthand and you learned how to. I tried to do shorthand. And longhand was killing me.
I
couldn't write nothing. But shorthand looked a lot easier. I couldn't read that stuff, but it was interesting to me how people...
Well, they teach you how to read it. I mean, you have books.
Yeah, I understand that, but I ain't a great... You know, I don't learn that easily like that. It's a weird thing. I have to learn a certain way, and it's interesting.
Well, it was different, and I was really intrigued by it, so I spent a lot of time learning it.
Oh, but did you enjoy doing it?
Yes, I did. Okay. Well, I worked my way up to being an administrative secretary. So yeah,
you know, another reason God placed us together, you'd be a pretty good editor.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah, because grammar is, listen, content when you're editing, if you're an editor, you have to know your writer to the point where you know what they're talking about. Because they may say something, you might say, hey, listen, this paragraph right here, I understand what you're saying, but it's a little convoluted and it gets lost in the middle or whatever. Okay. See if you can go back and tie it all together. They have to be enough to make those kind of suggestions. A good editor.
Right.
So they have to be enough to tell you, like, use THEN instead of THAN.
Right.
You know, and like the word ideal and ideal. I still get confused with that kind of stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So... those type of things totally escape me, and grammar catches it all.
Mm-hmm.
So you ain't got to worry about that. You can just type. And what it does is it allows you to just type your whole information all the way up. And then it corrects a lot of the stuff right then and there. Right. And now, some things that are questionable, it'll put a mark there to let you know, did you intend that, or were you trying to do this?
Right.
And it gives you comparisons and stuff like, okay, if you're trying to say less than instead of less
than,
you know, this is what you need to do. Right. And so you just pick the right one. So that way, because, man, I always was admired. Well, I didn't always. When I found out about writing, because my wife was an editor, and one of my wives was an editor, and when I found out the stuff that you could say through words, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
It blew my mind how you could express stuff.
Yeah.
With words.
So true.
So I was in school trying to get, you know, my whole diploma when I was in the military, and I was in Italy, and we had this school, and my teacher was an English teacher, and they wanted us to write a story, and I was telling her about the writing, you know, my reading habits, and she knew because she was my teacher, and she told her, she said, well, do the best you can, but I want you to write a story. And I said, what you want me to write about? She said, just, you know, make up something. So you know, I came up with this stupid concept about this man selling things you clean a rug with, vacuum cleaner. He was selling vacuum cleaners, but the vacuum cleaner had a type of mystery to it. It was really something that was a companion, but you couldn't tell. Only the person that was going to use it, it turned into a companion for them after they went through the whole thing. So anyways, I wrote this story, and the teacher was like, that was interesting. Where'd you come up with that? And I was like, you know, it's just something I was thinking about. So it's just, man, you know, if you're writing, you got grammar, it corrects all that stuff.
I know last time you were here, your son was with you.
Yeah.
And you said you and him are going to do some more of your.
We're gonna do a podcast. Right now, I'm just getting him ready to vote.
Okay.
You know, so he's got, in order to vote, he's got to have all these papers for here, because he is here. So we're just trying to get that straight. Hopefully by tomorrow we'll have that straight.
Well, that's good. And how's he doing?
He's doing well.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's he liking Marion?
It's different from him. He's a Baltimore brother, mm-hmm. and born and raised in Baltimore in the city. I don't know how much more I need to tell you.
A big change.
But he's been everywhere. He kind of adapting. You know what he's really not used to is how everybody. He's not used to white people approaching him and saying, "Hey, how you doing, young fella? How you doing today?" He's like, "Huh?" He said, "But the blacks don't speak to you like that." I said, "No, it's a different country, bro."
It is different.
You get used to it. Yeehaw. You're in Marlboro country, boy. Yeah, it's something like that.
I don't know why it's that way, but it is that
culture,
way.
Yeah. Conditioning. Culture. Just like I was telling somebody, because people that I used to bring people to Marion to visit, because mm-hmm. they couldn't believe it. They were like, "Man, you got to be lying about this place." I said, "Man, let me tell you, it's the coolest place you ever want to be." I said, "But it's crazy. Folks is wild." I said, "But they're beautiful people."
Right.
And I would bring them here, man, and turn them loose on my family. I'd be like, "Hey, man, this is so-and-so. Right. This is what he likes.
Right.
Work with him." They're like, "Oh, we got him, cuz." And I wouldn't see him no more until I got ready to leave to go back to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And they enjoyed it.
Okay. Well,
They couldn't believe how free my people were, because, you know, people during that time, man, you could just go. I mean, everybody was family, like, you know, family. Everybody, you go to people's house, you ain't worried about knocking on the door. Man, you go to so-and-so, "Hey, man, we family. Come on in," you know, man. Right. And you knock on the door if you want to. Man, what you knocking for? You know, you don't even be knocking. The door, knock again.
You talking about way back there.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, way back.
Well, not quite back when you was. That was back in the 30s, I think, when you talking. I ain't talking that far back, baby. I'm talking about back in the 1900s. Sorry. Yeah, you talking about the 80s
and 70s. I do remember we didn't lock our doors at night for some reason.
Sure didn't.
They'd be open all day.
Didn't need to.
But see, I
you almost don't have to lock them here in Marion now. Hmm. The only thing that really changed Marion is the drug epidemic.
Yeah.
If it had not been for that, if jobs were still like they were back in the 60s and 70s here, we wouldn't have had no drug problems here, because there wouldn't have been no need. Because there would have been an economy.
Well, you know, a lot of people came in and infiltrated themselves into our
Absolutely.
Community.
But they've been doing that. And this is true. Even back as far as the 1800s, they've been coming here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bringing their agenda, you know.
Absolutely. Look the black hands up if you want to. Go and look at your history in Marion, the black hands. You've heard of them?
No.
Jesus. You heard of mafia?
I've heard of the mafia.
Well, go look at and this is all document stuff, so I ain't telling secrets. Black Hand was the organization that had a whole lot to do with developing what we know today as the mafia.
Okay.
The guys that were in different places like Chicago, up, you know, different spots, Florida, they had the, you know, they would come to Marion for the annual meeting. And this is where they held it, in Marion. Hmm. But this was the headquarters for that. And you know a lot of people that you don't know you know, but I can't mention no names because I can't get into that. But right there on Silver Street, you had three sets of families that owned stores that was right there. And we ain't got to say their last name, but you know who I'm talking
yes,
about.
Yes, I
they
do.
It was part of that dude, that group, man.
Okay.
You know? And we used to suspect that. Well, you know, we just kids talking.
Right, of course.
And then come to find out when I read the history of this place,
mm-hmm.
they were real. Mm-hmm. They name them. in this book. This is a book I call The Black Hand. You ought to look at it. And you can, you know, down there where you put your brother, your cousin, the music thing.
Yeah, downtown at the historical.
It's in there. They talk about it. They got a the book and stuff. Okay. The information is in there, man. It's interesting.
Little Marion, Ohio.
And it was, you talking about straight up G's, man. Mm-mm-mm. And why you think so many people came to Marion, and then you be asking, what did they do for a living?
Right.
That's another hole. Because it was, okay, this place was industrious.
Right.
And it had a lot of opportunities. And there was a lot of needs that needed to be met.
Mm-hmm. And they come to meet our needs. No. Well, the city's needs, the people in the city's needs.
They came to the west side to get their needs met. That's all I can say about that.
Okay.
You got to think about it, honey. You had the largest railroad station.
True.
Country. This city, this state had the largest railroad fluctuation, period. I mean, mm-hmm. That railroad station, it was packed. And we used to spend a lot of time down there. You know, me and the other guys, we used to go down and play pinball machine, buy a pie for 30 cents or 10 cents, whatever it mm-hmm. was. And so that was part of our thing. And, man, it was, those coaches used to come through all the time. Wow. You never spent time to see the coaches?
No, I didn't live on that side of town. I lived on the east side, so I didn't know anything about it.
We didn't want y'all over there either, because I'm over here looking at our trains. But anyway,
they,
I don't blame you, me either. Well, I just lived right in the midst of it, but right. It was an influx of people always coming out, Harding right. Hotel. So our town, you know, where we were, right there where Ace High was like one of the biggest spots everybody go to. And all that stuff is written out, man. Ace High was like one of your biggest spots for all this transit.
Mm-hmm.
So all your gambling and prostitution and stuff used to start in that same vicinity and right. work its way around that area. Just put it like that. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. History. Marion, Ohio.
Oh, it's full of history, man. This little town, I said, man, my dad and them came here in 1952, 53, maybe the 50s at the latest mm-hmm. or earliest. I said, well, I wonder when blacks started coming here. And so I went and started looking up, man. Blacks been here since the 1800s, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and been in part of, you ever get these pains?
Mm-hmm. I sure do. Don't even talk about my shoulder. I broke my arm this year.
Doing good, baby.
Coming out my door, going down my steps.
You know,
steps.
We talked about that. I thought it was when you was in that judo competition, because I told you, baby, you got to get that up.
Judo competition.
Yeah, 90, you can't. You shouldn't still be doing judo at 90. But you look good.
Thank you.
You look really at 90, 490, and still doing judo.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the history of this little town, man, because this little town provided.
Rich history, wow.
It was a rich area. I mean, most people have never even seen an apricot tree. Man, we had so many apricot trees. We hated apricots.
We used to have one in our backyard.
See, you know, crab apple. Well, after the first 400 or 500 of them, I didn't like them no more.
Well,
I mean, rhubarb.
Too many. Love some rhubarb. Now, don't even talk about that.
Rhubarb, you know. And I mean, just little things like that, man. I mean, we used to, grapes.
Yeah.
People used to always tell us, because we didn't know people was making wine out of grapes.
Yeah, they were.
We were just taking, you know, we kids, it's about 5 or 6 of us, and we hitting your grape tree.
Mm-hmm.
You like, if y'all don't get out my tree, I kill you. You know, because you messing with my wine.
Yeah.
And so we didn't know that, man. We were just like, them old people are so crazy. Don't want all them grapes.
Stingy.
Yeah. And stingy, you know. Same thing with peaches, pears.
Go steal them at night. We did anyway.
Well, the west side has such, you know, the west side has such an abundance of that stuff.
So what happened to all those fruit trees?
All the old people that was Italians died.
It's hard to find a fruit tree in the city.
That's what happened with a lot of your grape trees. The people that was keeping them up, that no longer use them. So, and every now, I still know where a couple of them are, but I don't have access to them because I can't go on those people's property anymore.
Right, right, right.
But used to, when our folks used to own that property, we used to go back there all the time. I wished I'd have known. I'd have took a piece of that grapevine.
Planted it. Yes.
And planted it and started my own grapevine. Mm-hmm. It had some great grapes. That and the door next to my Aunt Oliva and that lady next door to her had some of the greatest grapes. There was another grapevine over there off of Senate Street, cherry trees. But their grapevines wasn't as big as Aunt Oliva and that lady next door to her. You know what Aunt Oliva was? Mm-mm. Judge's wife.
Oh, I remember her. Yeah.
Right there on Edward Street. They used to live. Now some other people live there, but that tree.
In that house now? I didn't think so. I always liked that house.
You know, it's difficult when family passes on and you have stuff that you have to deal with. And, you know, that stuff is hard to work with, man, especially if you're not here, you're out of town.
Right.
And it's hard to maintain, too, unless you got family here that's going to maintain it. Right. So, and some people just can't deal with the hurt, man, because it's a reminder, mm-hmm. you know, of old life type thing. So, you know.
So
no.
Was that your dad's brother or your mother's?
Yeah, it was my father, and he was brothers and everything. Yeah.
Was it just them two, or?
As far as here.
Siblings, yeah.
No, Uncle John was one of my dad and Judd and him was the three babies of the family. So, it was them, and then my aunts. I used to have a couple of aunts that lived here. And most everybody else lived in Georgia as far as his siblings. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all those people are gone now.
Yes.
I think my mom's got one sister left. I think all her people gone. I think all of them are gone. But, you know, man, when you don't keep track of family, kind of like the same thing you was reading about with your word for the day. Mm-hmm. Family kind of helps you when you can have that camaraderie and deal with family. It kind of helps you to stay on path because you kind of know who you are, what you are. And you have people telling you, look, this is how we did it. This is how you can change it. And then you got people that can look at you and tell that you got certain gifts and abilities, and they kind of enhance that and talk to you about it. When you don't have family, you don't have people like family, you miss out on all that stuff. So you don't know really what you got. And see that phone that you got right there? Mm-hmm. No, not that one. That one over there. No, the one underneath there.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. You're
turn around. Turn around. Right there. There you go.
Oh, that phone.
Yeah. Ain't that something for me? You know what? I need to take a picture of that.
That's rare.
My son told me one day he had a phone. I said, yeah, man. He said, what do you mean? It's one of them things.
Landline phone.
One of them things you used to dial with.
Yes. It's got the push button, but I...
You know what that is, push button.
Yeah, I don't know what I did with my old...
Do you phones. Like for people to take pictures of you or
I
not?
I don't care.
You don't?
No.
I don't either. I don't either. I noticed that I don't have pictures of the person that I say that's the host. Beautiful sister. But that's cool. That is good. I'll take pictures of that when we get done. So that way it won't be in the way of everything.
Alrighty, Dan. Well, we're winding up now. We're down to the last 2 minutes.
What can you say in 2 minutes except for vote? And you don't never have but one opportunity, and that's the one that you have today. Tomorrow's not promised. You know that.
Right. It's not promised.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, do what you have to do for today.
And I think one of the most profound things that was said, life is a mystery.
Life is a mystery. It's full of mysteries. Get out there and unfold it. Look behind some of the cabinets and look under some of the rugs. Look at life. Because life has so much to offer. That's why it makes no sense with all this senseless killings and hatred. And you know how beautiful the world would be if people just had sense enough to realize one thing. Just love one another. It's so stupid not to have love in your heart for another human being.
Sure.
When you on the earth, where you going? The moon don't have no oxygen or water. You think so? Bye.
The moon. Let's go to the moon.
Then
people want to go
to
Mars, right?
You messed this earth up. Now you think God gonna let you go somewhere else and mess up another planet?
I don't think so. People think so.
Well, keep thinking. It ain't gonna happen.
Haven't you heard that people own land on the moon?
How?
I don't know.
You can't go to it.
So you can't go visit.
And
right?
And they might even be charging them tax on it. Probably, you know, as stupid as people is, you're getting taxed by land on the moon.
I surely hope you have enjoyed our last hour as much as I have. Willett Harris, tap one. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
This is your life, girl.
You ain't life trying. Author. Go ahead.
This is your life, a road to healing.
A road to healing. Wow. A book. So I don't know what's going on with this mic, but it's doing a lot of different things.
Like what?
It's loud in one ear and not in the other ear. But anyway, I'm about out of here and off of for today.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. To legendary attorney and representative of clients such as O.J. Simpson and Dr. Sam Shepard, F. Lee Bailey.
Let's talk about that. The day the verdict came back, Dr. Shepard had been in prison over a decade. At that